We praise thee, O God, for the Son of our love, for Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of mine, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our mind. Hallelujah, and glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah and the glory, revive us again.
I appreciate very much this morning the opportunity that you've given me to be here. And I appreciate so much the humble prayer by my good friend, Brother Harry. See Brother Clyde and Sister Rosemary again, whom I've known for many, many years. Hear Brother Brad. And it's always a pleasure for me to be in the company of your good pastor. I've known him and his family for many, many years, and I've said this privately and I say it publicly. You here at Macedonia are very fortunate to have a man like him to be your pastor. And I pray for these young men daily. And my prayer is that, as Brother Brad has taught us, that the Lord be their helper. Because the times that we live in calls us to contemplate the seriousness of our devotion. And it's necessary daily that we take stock of that and be reminded of those great blessings that ours enjoy. Call your attention for just a little while this morning, and I'll try to tack on to what Brother Brad has brought to our attention. Isaiah comes on the scene, and I hope that you can get a mental picture in your mind of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel during the time of Isaiah. It was a serious time. It was a time when the worship of God was at a low ebb among the nation of Israel. Now, if you doubt that, I want you to read chapter 1 and beginning with verse 2 of this, what theologians call major prophets' writings. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Now I want you to keep that in the front of your mind, because that is the stated condition of the nation of Israel, Brother Virgil, at the time that this man wrote. Some of the greatest prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ are found in the writings of this great prophet. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
In Isaiah 32:1, he speaks there, and as he begins to describe the work of God again, he makes it very plain. And listen to the terminology that he uses. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, as a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 42:1, he speaks again and said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delights. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And I'll not belabor you with all the prophecies that are given concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but you come to Isaiah 53, and then he describes the purpose of God in Christ and the crucifixion itself and the transgression for which he was stricken. But he comes then to Isaiah 55 and he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see what this says? This is what the English language calls somewhat of a paradox. How are you going to buy something and yet you don't have any, have to have money to buy? You know, I mean, when you think about buying something, you think about that there's a price to it.
Yeah.
Well, here he says, to the thirsty, and don't forget who this is to,
yeah.
To the thirsty, to those who are thirsty, the prophet says, come ye to the waters. Go with me to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, I think are some of the most beautiful things that we can think about in so many, many ways. But I want you to understand that I believe in so many ways that the book of Revelation describes the church that we live in today.
Yeah.
You read Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1 and look at what John has seen in that great vision. He saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. You see the many visions, and I confess to you that I've never heard anybody among our people or anybody else could put all that together. There's so many visions and symbols and symbolic and necessary meanings and all of that. Don't let anybody kid you. They don't know it all. And you know, when you start dabbling in that, if you ask 20 preachers, you got 20 different answers. But I want you to understand there's a few things that are very plain. There's a few things that you don't have to wonder about. Here's one of them in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. When he said, and the Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. Now listen. And let him that is athirst come. You see, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Let him that is athirst come. Who is the one that the direction is directed to? Who is it first that bids you come? The Spirit and the bride say come. That's always the order that you find. That order's never reversed. The Spirit and the bride say come. Let him that heareth say come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will.
Yes.
Get it now? Let him take of the water of life freely. Somebody said, what are you going to do with that? Whosoever will. I'm going to believe it just what it says. Amen.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I'm not afraid of a whosoever will. It's just whosoever wants business I don't like. Yeah, he didn't say whoever wants, but whosoever will. Why is the will so important? Because it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
You see what he says here. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Why were they to come? To partake of the water of life freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money. I'll tell you, he's talking about some beggars, isn't he? He's talking about some poor. He's talking about somebody that's poverty stricken. You know, I got all sorts of programs through my office and through my county and through the state of Alabama that deals with poverty. It deals with the poverty stricken. It deals with those who are less fortunate. My friends, I want to tell you something today. You can have all the programs you want to have. You can have all the annuities you want to have. You can have all the teaching you want to have, and the poor you're going to have with you always. That's Bible. That's Bible. Jesus said that. But I want to tell you, every time the word poor is mentioned in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean penniless. Doesn't necessarily mean penniless. You know what Jesus said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now that tells me that that man that's poor is not destitute, but he's blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For those that are poor and are blessed, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is, that it's not that kingdom that you see, but it's that kingdom that cometh not with observation. It's that kingdom that is within you that you experience under the influence of the Holy Ghost and under the influence of the preaching of the gospel. Now, 3 o'clock this afternoon, I've got a funeral in Canton, Georgia. And when I go over there today, they called me and wanted to know. And I couldn't go to Danville because of the flooding issue. And things began to fall in place. And sometimes I just wonder, God's working hand. You understand all of that. But anyway, I'm going to go over there this evening. I've got a funeral over there at the funeral home. And here's a man that they said, Brother Richie, we don't know whether you know much about him or not. And I've known of him for many years and worked with him on occasion. But we don't think he was a Christian. He's never been to church very much, but he was a good man. He was good to his family. He was good to his neighbors. But yet, he's never made a public confession of faith. My friend, I want to tell you today, that man told me one day, he said, Brother Ricky, on the job, and he said, Brother Ricky, I get depressed about my family. I get depressed about things around me. But he said, I know that if I ever am privileged to see the face of my God in glory, it'll be because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'll tell you right now, brother, that's the best testimony I could have. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to think about it. Yes, sir. You know, I'm glad today, Brother Virgil, that when the gospel is preached, I love it. When the gospel is testified of, there's something about that testimony that thrills my heart and soul.
Amen.
And I want to tell you right now, the gospel has never been good news to an unbeliever. The gospel has never been good news to the unbeliever. You search, if you will, in the Bible. You'll never find where the gospel was good news to the unbeliever. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
Amen.
To the believer. You see, that's what he said. And I affirm to you today that when you find one that's a believer, you're going to find one that's in possession of eternal life. Now, all of them may not know the gospel. All of them may not know why they're a believer. Many of them don't. I wish all of them could understand and know what I know and understand. I wish they could believe what you believe and rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the case with all of God's children. Paul went to a place one time and he was doubtful about it. But you know what the wonderful message to him was from the God of heaven itself? I've got much people in this city. I've got much people in this city. Paul went there. Now I want to tell you, there's a bunch of those folks out there. They didn't know hardly how to handle those people.
You know, they put Paul in jail, he baptized the jailer. You know, they said, tell Peter not to speak in the name of the Lord anymore. And they came over there and said, well, he's over there preaching, lock him up. Put him between two soldiers. And when they did that, the angel of the Lord came down and caused the chains to fall off and caused the gate to open up in the city and for him to go where the church was praying for him. They told Daniel not to speak in the name of the Lord. Brother Brad, you was talking about it. But you know what? He opened up that window three times a day and looked toward Jerusalem and prayed. Don't you speak in the name of the Lord. They had a hard time with God's men. They really did. But here was a man that came on the scene to a group of people that had violated every law. God had blessed them in such a way, and now they've turned away from it. And he says this, that my people doth not consider. You know what Haggai said in chapter 1? He said, consider your ways. That's what he said to them. Consider your ways. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's not only good for Israel, that's good for you. And it's good for me. Yeah. I need to consider my ways. I really do. You know, I can consider somebody else's pretty well. It doesn't take me long to do that. But considering mine, you know, I've got to put on a different coat. I've got to approach it from a different direction. Oh, I get discouraged. You know, you think about Elijah. You know, you'd think a man that had seen the miracles that Elijah did, he'd never get discouraged. You'd think that. You know, he saw fire come down from heaven. He saw water licked up and a sacrifice taken up. You'd think, why, that man will never get discouraged. But a woman said, I'm going to put him to death. I'm going to see him dead. You'd think, well, Elijah said, well, that woman can't touch me. She's talking through her hat. But instead, what did he do? He ran for the woods and sat down under a juniper tree and prayed to die. Yeah. Yes, sir. Now you think about that. He got depressed. You know, I've always been afflicted with depression to some degree. The great English preacher, Charles Spurgeon, came nigh unto death, I'm told, and read after him because of severe depression. There are people today that are on medication daily for depression. You see that all the time. But Elijah got depressed. And I want to tell you right now, brother, just as our brothers talk, when you look around in this world and you listen to Fox News every morning, I want to tell you right now, it's a depressing time. Amen. And the best you can do, bless your heart, it filters over into the church. Yeah. Why? Because you're dealing with people. Brother C.M. Mills told me one time, pastoring churches wouldn't be hard if you didn't have to deal with people. Amen. I mean, that's sad to say, the church is made up of people. The church is made up of people. And to tell you the truth, we all got a common denominator about us. You know, we all get bound up in this world so much of the time. It's easy for us to look around us and get discouraged. And I say that sincerely. I really do. I see all these young folks here today, and you old folks for that matter. Some of us have lived a lot longer than we got left. But I want to tell you, it's depressing to me to think about my grandchildren. Now, you know, I'm going to go with them on a little trip this next week. And it's been a long time since I've been off with 2, 5, and 6 years old. Amen. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I've got depressed kind of when I get to thinking about it. You know, I mean, I'll take me a pill of some kind before it's over with. I don't know. But I want to tell you one thing. You know, I'm happy about it because, you know what? I can be happy. I can rejoice in the work of the Lord because I know that there's a God in heaven, bless your heart, that there's a God in heaven that is able to help us, and we can approach to him by a new and a living way that these people couldn't see. You know, under that old covenant, they had to have a priest. They had to have a priest. They had to have an intercessor that was of the priestly line, and there was a barrier that the children of Israel couldn't pass. But I'll tell you one thing, under this new and living way, in this new covenant, in this new age, let me tell you right now, the veil of that temple has been rent from top to bottom, and that which was one time a barrier, now there's a gateway. Yeah. We can approach to God by a new and a living way. Yeah. through the veil, that is to say his flesh. I can prove to you from the book of Hebrews that that veil was the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when that flesh was rent, our judgment became effective. The will of God then in a wonderful way was exposed as it's never been before, and the gospel was preached like it was never preached before. Now, Isaiah says, to you that are poor, to you that have no money, come ye and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There's a complete store of it. You know, once in a while we get a shortage of things, shortage of gas, shortage of sugar, shortage of coffee. Every once in a while, price will go way up because somebody says got a shortage of it. All they've got to do is just put it on news one time. Price will double just like that. But I want to tell you there's one thing that's not a shortage of. In the Lord, there is plenteous redemption. That's Bible. Plenteous redemption. He commanded his covenant to stand forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Reverend God. Isn't that? We can do that on safe ground, can't we?
Yeah.
We can do that on safe ground. When Paul came, who did he call for? The reverends of the church? No, sir. He called for the elders of the church, didn't he? Yeah. No argument to be made. And what were they to do? They had authority to preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And here's what Isaiah says: seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. You know, the Arminian will tell you like this friend of mine that I'm going to have his funeral after a while, that he never sought the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a class of people in this world that don't seek the Lord. The Bible says 10:4 in Psalms, he said, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The Bible tells me in one of the 14 indictments against the man in nature in Romans chapter 3, he says this, that the fear of God is not before their eyes. They will not seek after God. They will not seek after. Didn't say they cannot seek. They will not seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. You see what Isaiah is calling on these folks that didn't know their master to return? He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see that? He will abundantly pardon. Why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither. Do you know this rain, it comes down to earth, it's not going back up? No, sir, it doesn't. What's it for? Well, the rain comes down and the water that comes down on the earth, the Bible said that it maketh the earth to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's the reason the Lord waters the earth. I was preaching a meeting out in the desert and in southwestern Arizona here a while back. And you know what? You can just drive for miles and miles and miles, and there's not a tree. All you can see is rocks. It is barren. There is nothing there. Just as far as you can see, there is nothing. You understand? It's a pitiful sight. I wouldn't give a foot out of bounds for all Arizona. Amen. Good folks, but I ain't going out there. Amen. They said, if we called you out here to be our pastor, would you come? I said, you can call, but I ain't coming. Amen. I done talked to the Lord. I done talked to the Lord. I ain't going. Yes, sir. Now, how did I get off on that? You know, it's a barren place out there. They don't have much rain. They have about 4 inches of rain every year. But you know what? You go to that Imperial Valley, and they have canals that have brought water there, and right in the middle of that desert, because of water that comes down from a higher place to a lower place, they're able to grow anything that you can imagine. What a fertile place that valley is. And even in an unnatural environment, when the rain comes down, there's a beautiful experience of seeing life spring up.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, my friend, you by nature are an unnatural environment. You can have all the preaching you want to have. You can have the water you want to have. But I want to tell you right now, water will never do the dead one bit of good. It'll cause it to rot that much faster. But I'll tell you, if there's something there with life, water will revive it. Amen. Water will revive it. And the Bible said, so shall my word be.
Yeah.
Now listen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Amen. It's going to accomplish that whereunto I sent it. It's going to accomplish that whereunto I sent it. And it'll prosper in that very thing. I want to tell you, my friend, what God directs, what God does, whether we understand it or not, bless God, it's right. And it will be to God's glory and your good. And thank God today, as His ways are higher above our ways. We may not understand His ways, and thank God we can't. But I want to tell you right now, we can pass through this veil of sorrow and approach to Him through the veil. And because we can approach to Him through the veil, we have this access to the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can boldly say, the Lord is our help.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful experience it is today. Now, I want you to understand, we need to be helpful to one another. You know, I think it's a wonderful way y'all think about one another. You know, here a while back, my neighbor lives out from me. I live kind of out in the country, but my neighbor lives out there. He's a good fella, and he works a lot, and so he's got some children out there, and so he bought a swing set. It was in a box. You know, the box probably as long as this bench down here, about that wide, but it's all packed in that box. Well, you know, I was out there one pretty day here a while back, and I was off. And so I came in one day early from the courthouse, and I said, I'm going to help my neighbor. I'm going to put his swing set together. He hadn't got time to do it. Listen, don't ever do that. Amen. Listen, you talk about a job. My gracious. I mean, if I could have hired somebody after I got started to come from wherever he bought it, y'all come out here and I'll just pay you to put it together. Listen, I worked till he got home. I worked till he got home, and I finally got it looking like a swing set. But I want to tell you, I had more left over than I had when I started. You know that's the way the gospel is? You can preach a lifetime, Brother Virgil. Brother Will, you and Brother Brad's got a lot of years ahead of you. The Lord blesses you to live. But I want to tell you, when you get through, and when me and Brother Clyde and Brother Virgil's going on, I want to tell you there'll still be more left over than you had when we started. Yes, sir. Thank God for that today.
Amen.
I'm glad today to tell you that the Word of God is powerful, it's quick.
Yeah.
But may God help us to approach the fountain. May God help us to approach the stream of living water. May God help us to approach to it in a way of feeling poor and never feeling our importance, never feeling that we've got all of it in our mind and we can do it by ourselves. That's what I thought about the swing set. I come to find out that I can't save a sinner. If I can't put a swing set together, I sure can't save a sinner. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm going over there after a while, and I'm going to have to explain to them folks why I can't save a sinner. Why I can't preach him into heaven. I'm glad I can't. Amen.
Amen.
God, you know why? Because with the Lord, there's plenty of redemption, and when we went back to heaven, it didn't diminish his redemption one bit. It didn't diminish one thing. I'm going to rest my case right there. I'm going to rest that, and I believe you believe it. I want you to know when I leave, I believe it. And I want to tell you, I get through with them folks on yonder, there won't be a primitive Baptist in the house. But I want to know what I believe, you understand? I want to know what's going to take care of that man that they don't believe is a Christian, as they call him. Takes the same thing to save him as it does me. God doesn't have two ways of salvation. Thank God, both. The only one he's got is a successful and wonderful way. And bless God, I'm glad we've got the opportunity to believe it and see it. And what a wonderful benefit that is to us in this world that's no friend of grace. Thank you, and may God bless you, Brother Will.
There is a light.